All right. Well, we've been going through this series during this Advent season with the title called The Coming. And during this season, we look forward to Christmas, and we look forward to celebrating how Jesus Christ was born, how our God came as a human being to this earth, and how he lived his life perfectly, and how he died, and how he rose again. And because he rose again, he has said that he will return. And so not only do we look forward to Christmas, how Jesus came to this earth, but we also look forward to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so during the past this month and last month, we've been going through Matthew chapter 24 and 25, where Jesus does talk about his coming. And so today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And so I want to encourage all of us here to open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And again, I encourage you guys to open up a Bible in front of you. There may be verses that I go through that aren't displayed on the screen. And it's always great to have a Bible open just to be able to look at it yourself and not just on the screen. So Matthew chapter 25. Matthew is in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 25, we'll be reading from verses 1 to 13. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. This is the reading of God's word. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lambs and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Amen. The question that I want to ask today is a question that you probably never heard before. But I want us to think about it carefully. Here's a question. How long do you plan to live? How long do you plan to live? My parents are retired, and my dad told me about how my mom and my dad, they were laughing about this one story, how my dad and his friend were having a conversation, and they were thinking about buying life insurance, and they were choosing between different options where one option is you have to pay a lot of money, and it's never ending, but then there's no limit. There's no expiration of the insurance. But there's another option where you pay a certain amount of money, but then it says that you have to use the insurance money by a certain age. You have to pass away by a certain age. Otherwise, after that time, it's not valid anymore. You lose all that you've invested into the insurance. And so my dad's friend said, "Well, I think I'm going to go with the latter one." And then my dad, I don't know why, but they were joking around about this. My dad said, "Well, then I guess you have to die by 80. And they're both laughing. Well, for them, I don't know. I mean, once you get to that age, I guess you start thinking about these kinds of things. And perhaps, whether it be in a joking way like they were talking about, or whether serious, you know, for them, maybe they thought about it, but for most of us, we don't think about this question. How long do you plan to live? Now, if you were to just kind of think about your life, and you kind of estimate, I mean, if nothing happens, maybe I'll live to 100 years old, maybe. If nothing happens, maybe I'll live to about 80, 90 years old. Or maybe some of us, because of our parents' genes or whatever, because maybe there's some medical history, you don't think you will live that long. But however long you think your life might be, the next question that could come up is, how do you plan to use that time that you have to live? Right? This is maybe something that some of us have thought about. Maybe some of us, we've thought about our plans up until we graduate. Then you think, I don't know what I'm going to do after that. Or maybe some of us, we've thought about our plans, you know, by the age of 30 or by the age of 40, I want to have these accomplishments done. But then after that, you don't really have too many plans after. Or maybe some of us, we have a plan to retire and we want to retire a certain way. But then after that, we don't really have many plans. Or maybe we just have plans to live a comfortable life in some, on some island like Taiwan. I don't know. Right? However long your life might be, how do you plan to use that time? What we've heard Jesus say in passages for the past few weeks is that he said, I am coming, but you don't know when I'm going to come. I am coming, so be ready. Be ready. And that's what today's passage is really all about. And that's the main idea for today. The main idea is be wise by being ready. Let me say it a different way. Let me just use the words that come from the passage. Be wise by being watchful. Be wise by being watchful. Now we're going to talk about this idea about being wise by being watchful with 3 points. The first point is watching. Number 2 is not watching. And number 3 is the ultimate watcher. All right? So number 1, watching. Number 2, not watching. And number 3, the ultimate watcher. Again, the main idea for today is be wise by being watchful. All right? Let's talk about our first point, watching. Again, the main idea of this parable is to be watchful because we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming. Let me go through the parable real quick. If we could look at the next slide. The parable is perhaps a parable that many of us have heard about already. And I just wanted to just point out these things. The parable usually has one main idea. Parables in general, generally speaking, usually have one main idea. And again, the main idea is to be watchful. Now, I just want to help define some of the ideas here and make some pointers about the parable. The first thing is that in verse 1, it starts off by saying, then the kingdom of heaven will be like, and it goes on, Jesus goes on to talk about this parable. Now, what's interesting is that this parable is pointed out to be about the kingdom of heaven, but interestingly, a lot of times when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven or makes a parable about the kingdom of heaven, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, but in today's passage, it says, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And so when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, there is a present aspect of the kingdom of heaven, but there's also a future aspect of the kingdom of heaven where it will be a certain way when the kingdom of heaven comes. And what it's talking about in today's passage is when Jesus Christ will return and there will be a judgment that occurs. And so the kingdom of heaven will be like this parable that points to Jesus Christ return and how there will be a judgment day. It goes on to talk about the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. That's all verse 1. The virgins uses the word virgins, but another word that we can use is bridesmaids or the wedding party. Okay, that's the basic idea based on the culture back then. And so it's the wedding party. And the way that the weddings worked back then is that there was a kind of like an engagement period. There's a betrothal. There's a promise that these two people will get married. And then the bridegroom will come and meet the bridal party, the wedding party. And together they would march toward the feast area where the bride is waiting. Now, interestingly, in today's parable, the bride's not even mentioned. The bride's not even mentioned because it's not an important part of the parable. Okay, so this wedding party is there, and what it represents is the believers and unbelievers. The wedding party is there, they're waiting for the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is pointing to Jesus Christ. Now, among the wedding party, among these 10 virgins, 5 were wise because they took oil with them, and 5 were foolish because they did not. And the reason why that was important is because, you know, it uses the word lamps here, but then what we could maybe think about is something like a torch, something that maybe had a stick and a fire and it had cloth on top of it, and they needed to continue to pour oil on top of it so that the fire would continue to burn. They had to march with these lights, and it's this really a beautiful sight. Because imagine, it talks about how they were waiting for the bridegroom at nighttime. And so what you'll see is that at nighttime, you know, back then they didn't have street lamps, you know, they didn't have light pollution. And so at a distance, you'll be able to see a line of lights, of these torches lit up. And you knew that someone was getting married. And you knew that it was a celebratory time for that wedding party. And so it was important for the whole wedding party and especially for the groom. It's important for the groom to have this wedding party with all these lights to show that we are ready and we are wanting to make this a celebratory event, and the bridegroom, the groom, is going to get married. And so it's important that these torches are continually lit as they're marching towards the feast. Now, these virgins, the wedding party, they needed to have oil to be able to make sure that that light was lit. And if it wasn't, then it would bring shame to the whole wedding party, and it would especially bring shame to the bridegroom. Now, let's continue on talking about this parable. The bridegroom was delayed. And so what's really interesting here is that when this parable is talked about, you know, in the past, you know, Jesus says that I'm coming, and you don't know when I'm going to come. But here, it seems to tell us that, yeah, we really don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return, and there may be a period of time that passes by before Jesus Christ returns. The bridegroom, as Jesus tells us in this parable, is delayed. And so all of the wedding party, they all end up falling asleep. Now, the point of this parable is not to talk about how some people were very diligent and they stayed awake. No, actually, all the wise and the foolish, they all fell asleep. And so they all fell asleep, but then as the bridegroom arrives, there's an announcement that first goes out. And we find that in verse 6, it says, "But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" And so before the bridegroom actually arrives, there's this announcement that goes out, and it causes everyone to wake up. And Jesus, in the previous chapter, has been talking about all these signs. Jesus has been talking about how you will know that the end is near. You will know, and so be ready. Don't be led astray. Be ready for my coming. And there is a sign of the Son of Man that will come, as talked about in the previous chapter, and then Jesus Christ will appear. And so there's a cry that comes out. Everyone gets excited, except those that were foolish. because they're realizing, oh man, we don't have enough oil. Well, the story goes on where there's a group of people that have enough oil and there's a group of people that don't have enough oil. And those that did have the oil, they were able to meet the bridegroom and they went to the feast and they shut the door. And the foolish, they came later. But they weren't able to go into the feast. They were shut out. And the whole parable ends in verse 13, where it says, Jesus says, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Judgment day is coming, and we don't know when it's going to be. And when judgment day comes, some people will be a part of the wedding party that maybe think they're supposed to be a part of the banquet. They think they're supposed to be a part of what's to come. They think they're supposed to go to heaven. But actually, they appear before the bridegroom, and Jesus, or the bridegroom, says to these virgins, the ones that were foolish, he says to them, I say to you, I do not know you. And it's kind of reminiscent of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Right? It says, there are people that will cry out to God and say, "Lord, Lord." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Lord, didn't we go to church in your name? Didn't we help the poor in your name? Didn't we do all these things? I thought I was a Christian." And verse 23 in Matthew chapter 7 says, "And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Again, the reason why Jesus is talking about all this is because Jesus is coming and he wants us to be clear-minded. He wants us to be watchful of when he will return. He wants us to be constantly thinking about how Jesus is going to come back and there will be a judgment day. He wants us to be continually thinking about this. And we don't want to be caught off guard like the foolish, where they didn't have enough oil and they were shut out. We don't want to be like the foolish that get shut out and say, "Didn't we do all these things in your name?" And where we end up hearing the words, "I never knew you." It's kind of a scary idea. So some of us might be wanting to ask the question, how are we to be watchful then? What does that mean to be watchful? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Being watchful, first and foremost, means that you are constantly thinking about Jesus' return. Where you have that in mind. Where you plan your day. Where you have plans throughout your life. Where you even plan out your life in a way where you keep in mind that Jesus is returning. Now, the way that we can really think about this question is by asking, how would I live my life if I knew that Jesus Christ was coming in the next moments? How would I live my life right now? What would I do right now if I knew that Jesus Christ is going to return right after this service? Or what if Jesus Christ was going to return this evening? And somehow we knew that. The Bible tells us we won't know. But what if we knew that, how would you change the way you live right now? How would you change the way you think right now if you knew that Jesus Christ was going to return? Now, I want to turn real quick to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. It says this, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened." Okay, this is during the time of judgment. "Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books. And they were judged by what? By according to what they had done." And so when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to judge according to what we've done. Now, if you think about how you've lived your life up to this point, and you knew that Jesus Christ was going to return this evening, what would you go out and do to make sure that you would be judged well according to what you've done? If we knew that Jesus Christ was returning, maybe some of us would right away and go out and help the poor. Or maybe we'll go right away and we'll read as much of the Bible as possible. Or, you know, I'm not talking about how, you know, sometimes when we ask this question, if you knew that your life was going to end, what would you do? And most people would say, you know, I would go and spend time with family. Or I'd go and spend time traveling. Or I'd do something like that. I'm not saying, what would you do as your last thing that you would do on earth? What I'm saying is, if you knew that you're going to be judged according to what you've done, how would you change things right now if you knew that Jesus was coming this afternoon? It might be something like my kids where every day, I don't know why they started doing this, but all of my kids, from my 4-year-old up to my 10-year-old, all of my kids, as soon as they hear, you know, I'm at home with my kids and we're eating dinner, and Polly would come home late from work sometimes. My wife would come home late. And we have two doors. One is the outer metal door and the inner door. It's also metal, but one's the like security door and the other is the regular door, right? So when Polly puts in her key and turns the key, we can hear it all from inside the house. We hear this clicking type of sound and we could hear it. As soon as the kids hear that, that's the sign that mommy's going to come through the door real soon. And it's like seconds before. But as soon as they hear that sound, they rush off and they try to find a place to hide. And I don't know why they do this. They try to find a place to hide, and then moments later, Polly opens the door, and then my kids come out and they say, "Boo!" And they're trying to scare her, and they do this every single day, and she's not scared. I don't know why they do this, but it's that moment of, you know, the time is near. You know when your boss is coming back in through the doors. Right? And you hurry up and you put away your phone and you get back to your work. You know what I'm talking about? It's that moment where you know that Christ is going to return and you feel this sense of urgency. I need to do something right now. I need to do something good right now. And it's this idea of being watchful. How do I keep in mind the fact that Christ is returning and I don't know when he's going to return? He could return at any moment. And if that's true, how will I live my life today? How will I change my plans? How will the way that I spend my money be changed? If I knew that Christ was returning at any moment, how would I spend my time if I knew that Christ was returning at any moment? So think about that for a moment. If you knew that Christ was returning, all of your bank accounts don't really matter. All of your wonderful plans to go on vacation, they don't matter. If Christ was returning this afternoon. Right? Some of us are already thinking, but wait. Are you telling me to spend all my money right now? Are you telling me to just do whatever I want? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the mindset of being watchful and waiting for Christ's return means that we would continue to have that in mind, and it should affect how we live today. We shouldn't put as much importance on money. We shouldn't put as much importance on our career. We shouldn't put as much importance on the various things that we stress about in our lives. But here's the thing. Jesus says, I am coming, and you don't know when I'm coming. But the parable talks about how the bridegroom was delayed. We don't know when he's coming. He could be coming this afternoon, or he could be coming 100 years from now, maybe 1,000 years from now, and not in our lifetime. We don't know. And so while we have in mind that Jesus Christ is going to return at a time that we don't know, and it should affect how we plan and how we use our time, our money, it should affect all these things, we should also keep in mind and plan well as if we're going to live a full life, as if we're going to live 100 years. And so let's think about that. How do I plan and how do I do things? How do I have a mindset where I'm thinking about Jesus Christ returning at any moment, but at the same time, I'm planning in a way as if Jesus Christ isn't going to return in my lifetime? How do I do that? What kind of mindset should I have? Well, again, the idea is we need to plan well. Plan, use your finances, use your time, get your education, build up your career, do all of these things. Educate your children, do all of these things in a way as if we will live 100 years, but do it in a particular way so that you and your family and your situations around you will be ready for Christ's return, even if he came today. It's about your mindset. It's about what you remember. And your heart, the way you think about these things should affect, it will affect how you live your life. What does that mindset include? Well, yeah. Live as if Christ will return today, but plan as if you will live 100 years. What does that mindset look like? Well, the mindset is this continual looking to the Lord Jesus Christ who will return. It's this mindset of continually looking to the Lord Jesus Christ where I trust him and I know that he is God and that I will not place so much importance on the material things of this world, but I will place all the importance on Jesus Christ who will return. And so the mindset is, I trust and I know and I believe that Jesus is my Lord. If we could go to the next slide. Jesus is my Lord. And because he is my Lord, he will come to judge one day. I must live my life for him. Not for my own goals, not for my own pleasures, not for my vacation or for my retirement, for my bank account, but I must live for Jesus, who is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and so all of my resources should be used for my Lord. The reason why I have money, the reason why I have time, the reason why I have a family, the reason why I have this education is so that it will be used for my Lord. Not for myself, not for the ways that I want things to turn out. It should be all used for my Lord. Jesus is my protector. And so even if disaster comes, even if things go terrible in this world, Jesus is my protector, so I don't have to be afraid. This does not mean that I will not face danger. This does not mean that I believe that Jesus will protect me from all kinds of illnesses and sicknesses. That's not what it means. It means that no matter what happens in my life, something will maybe even cause me to die, but I will trust that one day I will be with my Lord in heaven and he will protect me from the ultimate disaster of going to hell. I will trust that Jesus will protect me. Jesus is my defender. And so I don't have to fear injustice. Even if people wrong me, I can trust that Jesus is going to make all things right when he comes back and judges the world. I trust that Jesus will make all things right, so I don't have to fear injustice, or I don't have to fight against injustice myself. I can let my Lord be my defender. And Jesus is my provider, so I will have everything I need for what he wants me to do. Jesus will provide for me. And again, it might not look like where I'm going to have enough money for food today. It might not look like where I have a house over my head. It might not look like that. But I trust that Jesus will provide everything I need to do what he wants me to do. Because he is my Lord, I want to live for him, not for my own desires. Because Jesus is my Lord, I need to be aware, I need to keep in mind that everything in my life should be used for his glory. Everything in my life, my time, my money, my resources, everything should be for him. And this is what, these are the things that we keep in mind. This is the idea of being watchful, knowing that Christ will return. And so if I don't know when he will return, then if I keep all of these things in mind and I'm living for his glory and I'm living for him, then I don't have to be afraid of being the foolish one, not having the oil to be able to keep the lamp lit. I don't have to be afraid of that. I can keep these things in mind and know that I am ready for my Lord to return at any moment. You know, whether you are here today as a believer in Jesus Christ or as an unbeliever, these are the kinds of things that we're all looking for. We want to have purpose in life. Jesus is able to give us purpose in life. We want to find a way to find freedom from these things in this world that stress us out. Jesus is able to give us that kind of freedom. We want to find some way to experience peace and rest in this life. Jesus is able to give us that peace and that rest because he is our protector. He is our defender. We want to find some way to be counted as worthy, that our life means something. Jesus is able to give that meaning to our lives. If we live our lives for him, that's the greatest purpose that any person can live for. If we are like the wise, where we are watchful, where we are waiting upon our Lord to return, then we will be able to join in the feast. We will be able to go to heaven. We will be able to spend eternity with our Lord, who is so wonderful. But if we're not ready, if we're not being watchful, if our mind is clouded with all other things in this life, then we will be shut out. And Jesus says, he will say to us, I do not know you. Now, we spent a lot of time on this first point, watching, because I really wanted to make clear what this idea of watching is about. I wanted to make clear that we do need to have Jesus and his return in mind. And it will, if we do, it will affect how we think about our lives. But the problem is, point number two, that many times we're not watching. We're not watching. And I can tell you guys that, and admit myself, that to constantly have this in mind is kind of burdensome at times, and it kind of is difficult. I mean, I'm forgetful. For some reason, for me, I'm able to really remember some specific details of specific moments in life. But if you talk about general stuff, I forget easily. Even for myself, I mean, you know, for us, you guys may hear a sermon. You might hear this sermon. And then right after the service is over, I ask you, hey, so what do you think about the sermon? What was it about again? I mean, I think it was good, right? We might answer that way. It's hard to remember the things that God is speaking to us about. You know, and you know, I'm not blaming you guys. I don't even remember some of the sermons that I preached from weeks ago, right? It's so easy for us to forget, let alone keep in mind the fact that Jesus Christ is returning. And the question is, why is it so difficult for us to be watchful? Because, you know, Jesus says if we're not watchful, what if Jesus Christ comes at a time where you're not watching, where you're not ready? What's going to happen? And I'm kind of giggling. I'm not giggling, but I'm kind of laughing in a way because I'm kind of nervous even saying this thing. What will happen if Jesus Christ returns at a time when you're not watching? So let's think about why. What causes us to not watch? First thing is that many times we want immediate satisfaction. If we could go to that next slide. Yeah, thank you. The next slide, please. Yeah, we're looking for immediate satisfaction. You know, it's just the way that life is these days. You know, the most important thing for us is this. People describe our generation of just all generations as the microwave generation. We want things quickly. You can't wait for a meal. You just need to click 100 enter and you'll have a hot meal after. We want things quickly. And this thing, it doesn't help. The phone, it doesn't help. Because we want entertainment, we got it. We want sex, we got it. We want something like food right away, Uber Eats, Food Panda, we got it. Everything that we want, everything that we're longing for in our hearts, we're wanting it right now. And this idea of waiting is a very hard concept for us to learn. So we take this with us everywhere we go. You just look at the MRT and you see everyone with this, and it's very hard to find more than five people that is not looking at the phone, right? Even right now, as we're thinking about our own lives, maybe you might be thinking, you know, you could ask yourself, when is it that I don't have my phone? Some of us, we have our phones, we take it to bed. Some of us, we have our phones when we're eating. Some of us, we have our phones when we're dating. Both people on their date are looking at their phones and even chatting with each other on their phones. That's the society that we live in today. And so when we talk about wait for the Lord and His coming, because things will be so much greater than what we have right now. Look forward to that and be watchful. Be waiting for that. Be ready for that. And look forward to what the Lord has for us one day in heaven. But what we demand is that we have it now. We want it now. And that might be one of the reasons why we're not watchful. Because we're able to find the things that we're looking for all right here. Or we find it in our families. We find it in our work. We find it in our successes. We find it in our comforts. We find it in our vacations. We find all the ways to be satisfied. And so we don't have any reason to want to wait for the ultimate satisfaction in Jesus Christ. We want immediate satisfaction. But let's go a little bit deeper. It's not just about immediate satisfaction. Next thing is that our love is misplaced. You know, the thing is that the reason why we want satisfaction is because there's this deep longing in our hearts where we want to be satisfied. And what is this longing in our hearts? It's basically a longing because God is absent. It's a longing for the love that God can provide for us. It's a longing for comfort that God can provide for us. It's a longing for rest that God can provide for us. It's a longing for just this feeling of success and joy and glory that God is able to provide for us. And so rather than looking to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to give us these things, we look to these other idols in our lives, and we replace the love that we should have for God with a love for all of these other things. We replace God with our family. We replace God with our children. We love our children more than God. Let me say it this way. We love our family more than God. We love our work more than God. We love our education. We love people praising us more than God. We love our successes. We love the money that's in our bank account. We love our finances. We love our retirement plan. We love these things more than we love God. And we're saying, I want it now. I want it my way. And actually, if we go a little bit even deeper than just this, it's all about rebellion. It's outright rebellion. Because what we end up saying when we're not watchful, what we end up saying is, God, I don't want you. And actually, you're not God. I don't want to do things your way. I don't want to do things according to what you're promising me. I want things my way right now. And so since you're not giving it to me, I'm going to find the things that I want right now. And whether you're a Christian or not, this is something that we all fall into over and over again. I could share my own example. This past week, there is this really strong temptation, this strong desire for adventure, for something more than what I have right now. And I was sharing with my accountability group this past week, and I was saying, I don't know if this is my midlife crisis or what, but I'm just feeling like I want something more adventurous, something more exciting. And it's just this feeling, this emotion was just so strong in me this past week. And I wanted to like fulfill that desire. And I was tempted with lust, and I was tempted with like wanting to keep looking at the news, and I just refreshed the news site. Is there anything new that's coming up? You know, and I'm looking at SpaceX. Oh man, so exciting. I want something exciting, and I'm just trying to find my own way to fulfill this desire of I want something more. I'm not afraid to admit this in front of you guys, because I know that all of us, we all struggle with something where we want things now, we want things our own way. And we end up declaring with our actions and with our thoughts that we are God and God is not. And it's just outright rebellion. And what Jesus says is that if we're not watchful, and what Jesus is saying is that we need to be watchful constantly, consistently. None of us can do that. Jesus says that if we get caught off guard like that, he will turn to us and say, I do not know you. Where we fail, Jesus Christ did not fail. He was the ultimate watcher. This is point number three. He was the ultimate watcher. He kept his eyes fixed on God's plan, on the Father's plan. He kept his eyes fixed, and he kept working towards that. His whole life was spent, all of his resources were spent towards fulfilling the Father's will. And no matter what kinds of dangers came, No matter if there were times where he felt hungry and perhaps for other people, they would have felt that God was not providing for them if they experienced what Jesus experienced. There were moments where Jesus was, he knew that he was going to go through times of pain. There was going to be times where he didn't have a place to live. He knew all of those things, but he kept his eyes fixed on what the Father wanted for him. And he kept going faithfully with that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And this is the important part. Who for the joy that was set before him. He had that in mind, and it was a joy to think about what was coming. He was watchful. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the last slide. Because Jesus was wise, it shows us that something is worth waiting for. Because Jesus was wise, he is able to satisfy all of our deep heart needs. Jesus not only forgives us of the ways that we are not watchful, but he also begins to fulfill those needs deep in our hearts. The reason why we're wanting these things right now our way, he fulfills those needs. Because Jesus was wise and watchful, it encourages us also to be wise and to be watchful. Because Jesus was wise and watchful, he also empowers us to be watchful. And he does it through the Spirit. The Spirit is given to us. Those of us that put our faith in Jesus Christ and we say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you forgiven me. And I trust you're working in my life. I want to live my life for you. For such people, those of us that call ourselves Christians, we can believe that the Holy Spirit is working in us to give us the strength that we need to be watchful. And because Jesus was wise and watchful, he will continue to remind us, again, through the Holy Spirit. He will remind us through the preaching of God's word. He will remind us through the times that we read the Bible and we pray. He will remind us through our community groups and through other brothers and sisters. He will continue to remind us that he is returning and that we would be able to endure. And so, brothers and sisters, we're not going to be able to be watchful by our own strength. Look to Jesus. He will make us, he will help us to be watchful. Here's a couple of practical applications. As we are encouraged to be watchful, to be wise, and to wait for the Lord Jesus, I really encourage you guys to think, whether you're going to live for 100 years or for a few more minutes, list out your goals in life according to that, with his coming in mind. What would your goals in life, what are your goals in life right now? List those out. And if Jesus Christ is returning soon, at some point, whether it be 1,000 years from now, we don't know when he's returning, right? Or whether it be this afternoon, what would your goals in life be like if you had Jesus' return in mind? List those goals out and see how they differ. See how they're the same. List out your goals. And perhaps that could be a point of asking the Lord to help you to have those goals in mind. If Jesus is our Lord, how would I live for him? And the next practical application, because we are in this Advent Christmas season, is I just want us to say to each other, Merry Christmas, Jesus is coming. All right, so let's just do that right now. Merry Christmas. Jesus is coming. We want to encourage each other. Continue to encourage each other. So for this next week, up until next week, up until Christmas, start saying Merry Christmas to people. But don't just say Merry Christmas. Add that latter part. Jesus is coming. I'd be really interested to see how unbelievers respond. Merry Christmas. Jesus is coming. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the ways that you continue to work in our lives to help us to be watchful and waiting for your coming. Lord, allow us to really keep these things in mind, that we would be ready as you enable us to be ready for your coming. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.